The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada here at the D. Kelly, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. How's it going? How was Cali?
Cali was great, but I was waiting through
with
the EDM stragglers downstairs.
Oh, yeah. It's been entertaining every morning.
I am walking by myself laughing out loud through them.
Drugs are abundant in Las Vegas this weekend.
It's just... And I feel like saying all of them, you know, you guys are 15 years behind when this was actually cool and hip, right? And now you're just paying exorbitant amounts. I didn't say anything, though. Marlon, the valet downstairs, is very upset. He says they're not giving him a dollar in tips. He's like, in and out, in and out, in and out. They don't give me anything.
Brutal.
He's very upset.
And it is, it's busy. It's been busy down there, too. I don't know. I mean, we're up early. Obviously, we're up early out here in Vegas, but... Still 6, 7 a.m. every morning the past like 3 days, I've seen a group of like we're driving in downtown. I saw a group of like six people just stumbling down the street, like still in festival clothing. I'm like, man, you should get somewhere safe home.
It's all turned out well for all of them, I'm sure. Yeah. The NBA, we must begin there. We will. Mike Somich will join us later. He's got hockey and basketball plays. We'll hear from Mark Borchardt on baseball. We'll also talk to Jake Hahn about the NHL playoffs. We'll talk PGA. We'll talk French Open. There's a lot to get to this time of year, but we got to start with hoops. And it's just this notion that I guess you're allowed to say when you know nothing. And I'm at the point in the NBA where I can't tell you anything anymore. Going into yesterday, let's start with this. Since 1947, there have been 149 game sevens in the NBA. There had been 149 game sevens in the NBA headed into yesterday. And according to NBC Sports, the home team had a 112-37 record straight up in those game sevens. That's a little more than 3 out of 4. Yesterday, 2 visitors win. It's the first time that's ever happened. 2 game seven road teams win on the same day. Pardon me. This is from Ben Golliver. The T-Wolves have pulled off the biggest game seven comeback pardon me, in NBA history as well, erasing a 20-point third-quarter deficit to dethrone the defending champion Denver Nuggets 98-90 and reach their first Western Conference Finals since 2004. Close the game on a 60-32 run. That is another record that was set yesterday, that erasing of a 20-point deficit in the third quarter. It's the biggest comeback from a halftime deficit into Game 7, 15 points ever as well. And really... If I came to you before the playoffs, Kelly, and I said, you know, the Nuggets are going to have a game seven on their home court. They're going to be up 20 in the third quarter, and Nikola Jokic, the MVP, and his teammates are going to gack it. Could I have said anything more outlandish? Was there anything that would have been more unbelievable to you than that? And that's what went down yesterday. The Nuggets... who at that point when they led by 20 early in the third quarter, from that point forward in the third period, they went 2 of 13 from the field after the first 3 shots they took.
Wild.
In the third quarter. They went 2 of 13 from the field. And the rest of the game from that point, they went 12 of 36 from the field. And you just have to absolutely give it up to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I get back to what I said a week ago, which is if the T-Wolves end up winning the NBA championship, Celtics are the short shot right now, but the T-Wolves are right after that. If they end up winning it, everyone, and I'm talking about me and everybody else, who destroyed that Rudy Gobert trade.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, when Nikola Jokic went one-on-one with Rudy Gobert, he destroyed him. But there is a collective in basketball, and there's an alchemy to basketball. And we are all going to have to eat crow on that Gobert trade. 4 first-round picks, 1 first-round swap, 5 players. I know. On paper, everybody universally panned it. But if the T-Wolves pull this off, everybody's got to shut up. Because yep. Tim Connelly understood it better than all of us. Tim Connelly, who built the Nuggets and who left the year before they won the championship, he understood what it would take to beat them. And flooding the zone with big men was key amongst them. And so for him, there was no price too big to pay. We'll see what happens. But what a stunning turn of events yesterday. And I wasn't going to go down a Michael Malone rabbit hole. But since he did this after the game, I figured we would.
All right, we'll get back to that.
Okay, we'll get back to that. Should I quote it without showing it? Do you want me to do that? Michael Malone, when asked about what was going down yesterday, well, let's just say...
Yeah, we got it.
We got it. Here it is. Michael Malone in his own words.
Next question, man. The season's over. That's what's hard. Being up 20. The season's over. You don't understand that. The season's over. It's hard. Stupid-ass questions.
Calling out reporters for stupid blank questions. This reminds me of after last year when they won the championship. I used to make fun of Michael Malone because he never seemed happy about it. He was always like, ah, oh, Lakers getting all this attention. We get nothing.
That was such a thing.
It was such a thing. And he's the one that's always talking about that. And then to have the nerve to do that to reporters who are just doing their job asking questions.
Drives me insane.
By the way, that reporter, if that reporter was able to talk back to you like you're talking to them, would have said, how about adjusting to the, how about the fact that once the T-Wolves figured out the two-man game between Jokic and Jamal Murray, you made no adjustments whatsoever. But they didn't do that. And so because he's acting like that, I decided to do a little research. Do you know what Michael Malone, you know what the, you know what the Nuggets have beaten in terms of opposing seeds in his tenure in the postseason? They've beaten a 7-6-2, 6-8-4-7-8. By the way, that one anomaly in there, a 2, was in the bubble against the Clippers when they came back from a 3-1 deficit. So it's not that like they had to go to someone's home court. In this case, the Clippers' home court to do it. So the other seeds that they've beaten, throw that 2 out, 7-6-6-8-4-7-8. Who have they lost to? A 3-1-2-3-3. So Michael Malone, you ain't your dad. Maybe pipe it down a little bit. And I wouldn't have even gone there had he not acted this way. But when you act that way, people start to uncover stuff about you that they might not otherwise have gone into.
Yeah, it drives me nuts. It's like the questions in press conferences haven't changed in 50 years. You know that's coming after a loss. I don't understand why you have to. I've sat in those rooms before. Somehow over the past like 10 years, because it's not just him. It feels like it's other sports too. Like it's okay now for like players and coaches to just blast the media for doing their jobs.
It's incredible.
I think the other part, like some people, I always like was reading a bunch on social media. What a stupid question, like that kind of stuff. You got to understand, reporters are in that room for different reasons. Some are newspaper reporters, some are radio reporters, some are TV reporters. They're all asking questions, looking for a different type of reaction. And right there, and why we're playing it, is because what TV and radio reporters love to ask that question to get some type of reaction.
And I'm just going to raise my hand again. I, in a million years, wouldn't have seen that coming yesterday, up 20 in the third quarter. Now, here's the way to handle a question. This is the contrast to that. These are the Minnesota Timberwolves. This is Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns after pulling off the upset.
This is for either one of you guys. And usually in NBA history, it says you have to lose and lose big before you win. What is it about this team that says...
We lost last year.
Yeah, but that's different. You have to lose at a bigger stage. Usually, teams... Usually
it's the playoffs. We lost last year.
We lost the last 2 years.
How much more we got to lose?
Yeah, how much you want us to lose?
We've been losing for 20 years.
I mean, that's just the truth, dog.
We keep muting out a curse word, but that's the funniest part of the whole thing.
There was a lot of F-bombs by Ant in that press conference last night. We've been losing for 20 years.
How much do you want us to lose? He's right. How much do you want us to lose?
Oh, man.
They got over that hump. And so good for the Timberwolves. Good for every better who has them in a future. Good for you if you have the Mavericks like you, Kelly. Good for you.
Oh, I feel like I'm going head-to-head with the world right now. Let's go.
T-Wolves, Mavericks. T-Wolves, a -170 series favorite. That took a little money on Minnesota here since release. You think that's about right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that number is pretty appropriate. It was what opened like -150, got bet up. I think I saw as high as -190. Mavericks money coming back in is restabilized. I think we're about -165, 170 right now most places. Yeah, 170, 180 is what you're seeing on that. Yeah, I think it's a fair price on them. If I was not involved with Mavericks futures, you'd probably be dabbling a little bit with the Timberwolves. On this side, I think they've got a slight advantage. The one thing I'll bring up, though, Gil, is I kind of like the Mavericks in game one.
You do?
I do think there's... I think if the Mavs are taking one on the road, I think after this seven-game series against Denver, you're giving... I mean, part of this is... I don't think I'd be thinking this way if Mavericks didn't close this out on Saturday night like they did. But you get some time to rest Luka up now, a few days here. Timberwolves coming off a big-time win, one of the biggest wins in franchise history, closing out Denver in seven games. You're coming back home. I think if Mavericks are going to steal one in Minnesota, it's coming in game one. So
Mavericks are four-point dogs in game one. That is on Wednesday night. Western Conference Series opens Wednesday night in Minnesota. We'll run into a break here, and we'll do a baseball break. But I just want to say before we get to the Pacers and the Knicks yesterday, because the Pacers, before that happened, pull off the upset over the Knicks in Game 7. They now will take on the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, which begins tomorrow night. Boston is a 9.5-point favorite in Game 1. And on the series, Boston is a $9 favorite, with the Pacers just north of $6 on the comeback. I have to tell you, man, like the Pacers winning in 7 at 20-1 strikes me as the best bet on the board. Because of the way they play basketball. And this yesterday, and I know they're not going to shoot 70%. We'll get into their percentages momentarily.
Yeah.
But they have that ability, right? That was their brand earlier in the season and into the in-season tournament. And as long as you have a team like that, and we've seen Boston gack games against teams that go on fire from three, well, it wouldn't be that big of an anomaly for the Pacers to do that more than once. And then a game 7 in Boston, we've seen how the Celtics have performed that. I actually think the Pacers have a puncher's chance in this. I'm going to take them on the series and in games, and in 7 specifically. We'll come back more on that. Baseball next with Borchardt.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're close to crowning an NBA champ, and with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings? Listen up. New customers get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Before we get to Jake Hahn and hockey, can I give a shout-out to my buddy Preston Johnson? Preston Johnson, ladies and gentlemen.
Crawley Town!
Co-chairperson of Crawley. They are headed to League One, up from League Two, with a 2-0 win on Sunday. And this is Paul Medina. This is a shot of Preston. Paul Medina, thank you for this. Congrats to Crawley Town and Preston on winning the championship game today and being promoted to League One. And look at the dapper Kelly Bidlin, I mean Preston Johnson, in full coat and tie. This, by the way, this was the thing that I forgot because I was considering going, right? Jason was there. Rufus was there. I forgot. It didn't even occur to me that if I did go, I'd have to, like, wear a coat and tie there.
you would have shown up in that shirt.
I would have shown up in a hoodie. I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, Preston.
I saw a couple great pictures. Man. I'm so happy for all those guys. Obviously, we know them, but you know them very well. Go back forever with them, and some of those guys have been so great to us and the network and everything. But there was a great picture I saw of Preston and Rufus, the biggest hug ever. Like,
that's so great. I was, you know, one of the things that just. There's this Wrexham documentary, yep. Ryan Reynolds, and they look, Wrexham went from League 3 to League 2 to League 1, but they paid, right? They paid for the best players. This is the greatest Moneyball story, and if you didn't hear Preston on the show a couple weeks ago, he had death threats. Like, you cannot, if this was a script that was submitted to a Hollywood studio, they would reject it summarily. Crawley, to win League 2, was 400-1 preseason in some spots. They were 3-2 to be relegated. 90% of relegation action in the betting markets was on Crawley Town.
Oh, God. Wow.
Not to mention that he had the death threats. They had 5 different coaches year one. This is year two. They had the biggest racism scandal in English football history with the first one. Literally 9 days into his ownership, the Football Association calls them and is like, your coach over here is a problem. I mean, the manager was under investigation. You cannot make it up. A documentary should be made about Crawleytown. It's just incredible. So congratulations to Preston Johnson, our buddy, and Jason Weingarten, and everybody else involved.
That's wild. So happy for those guys. Yeah. I know we've talked about it a million times, but all those guys are so nice. And like, I'll never forget DMing with Preston like in 2011 over like the dumbest like sports betting questions, and him just like taking the time to answer and stuff. Like, one of the nicest guys on the planet.
Could not happen to a nicer guy. Could not happen to a nicer guy. Jay Kahn's also nice. Yeah, he didn't go from League 2 to League 1, but, you know, it's only for Preston. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at jhan4. That's, of course, J-H-A-H-N with the number 4 is where you can follow him. And he comes to us again courtesy of Progressive. Jake, first of all, before we get to hockey, did you have Xander Schauffele?
I did not, guys. Sad news, but I never have Xander Schauffele, so I don't feel like I missed anything. I feel like if you're somebody that always bets Xander Schauffele, if you miss the PGA Championship win, you're feeling pretty upset today that you missed the boat on that. So I've never really been a Xander guy. I've always felt like he gets priced with guys that win a lot, right? He's usually third, fourth in the odds board, something like that. And for a guy that just doesn't win a whole heck of a lot, I never get to his price, but I found myself rooting for him late yesterday with no real horse in the race in terms of an outright ticket, because he is such a consistent golfer. I think we can all agree the talent of the guy, and yeah, you kind of root for him to finally break through. So again, never really been a Xander backer, but congrats to anybody that that stuck with him for all those years. You might be at least close to even on Xander Schauffele outrights.
Yeah, honestly, like, everybody's pumped for Xander, and it's just comical that nobody ended up having him, because he had he had absolutely crushed people through the years for those who had bet on him to win outrights. All right, you are here because, of course, you're the co-host of the Point in the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM NHL. Let's talk some hockey, where we have 5 teams left. We have 3 that have gotten through in 6-game series in the conference semifinals, but we have one place to be decided in the conference finals, and that is going to be determined by tonight's Game 7 in Vancouver between Edmonton and the Canucks, where the Oilers are -160 favorites. The Canucks of the remaining 5 teams are by far the long shot. Do you give the Canucks a shot here tonight?
Well, kind of fitting, guys, that it is a holiday here in Canada. It's Victoria Day, that the All-Canadian series does go 7 games, right? We actually felt like for a moment we might get all 4 series to go 7. Ultimately, like you said, Gil, the other 3 series all end in 6 games. So for a moment there, we thought, man, are we really going to get a crazy second round where all 4 series get to 7? Ultimately, it's the All-Canadian showdown. I'm just going to guess that Vancouver and Edmonton fans have already started drinking for this Game 7 because it is holiday here in Canada. So you get some pretty interesting crowd in Vancouver tonight, I think, with a lot of time to pregame for this one. I mentioned it with Kelly. I came on the live show on Sunday. I like this price for Vancouver. I just think it should be priced a little closer to a pick'em. Can Edmonton win? Of course they can. They're a great team with high-end talent, and they probably should be a slight favorite in this game, but I can't get to I see you guys have it priced at -166 there. To me, that's a little too steep for how close this series has been. I think it's going to come down to one goal. If it comes down to special teams, yeah, the edge does lie with Edmonton, but their power play has gone cold the last couple of games, and it does feel like maybe Vancouver's penalty kill has figured them out a little bit. And another thing, in Game 7s, the whistles tend to go away a little bit. You really have to take a penalty to get called for 2 minutes in a Game 7 type situation. So I like Vancouver +140, guys. I think there's a lot of value with them as a home dog in this Game 7 tonight.
Jake, any reason to fire on that now, or should people just wait? I mean, this was what, +120 on Friday, +130 yesterday, +140 now?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, Kelly, because it has moved a lot more than I thought. Like, I did figure that Edmonton would take some money because people want to back Connor McDavid. He's the best player in the National Hockey League. He's playing in a Game 7. These are the superstar type moments, right? Whether it's LeBron James at the peak of his career in a big game, or Patrick Mahomes, trying to go to another Super Bowl. Like, this is when star players step up, right? It's a little different in hockey. I think it's more difficult to take a game over than a quarterback or a star player in basketball, but McDavid is that good. He certainly could take this game over. But watching him, he does not look 100% through the course of this series. So I'm not going to speculate on injury, but it does look like he's kind of grinding and maybe doesn't look his dominant self. So I'm not surprised that Edmonton's taken some money. I just don't know how far that we can take this thing. I think plus 140 for Vancouver is more than enough of a fair price. If it gets even better, then sure. But I hesitate to think that this is going to get up to the minus 180 range for Edmonton. I think that would be a little crazy.
Does the absence of Brock Besser give you any pause at all?
Again, good player, and he has had his moments in this series. An unfortunate situation for Besser to have to miss this game, and I certainly wish him all the best for what he's going through, the blood clotting issue. That does sound like something quite serious and sort of came out of nowhere in this series. But I would say no. He's, again, good player. He could score goals. He's certainly in that top six for Vancouver on their first power play, but he's not enough to shift the line or my opinion on this game significantly enough. I still think Vancouver has the parts to get this done.
Blood clotting, no joke. Again, if you'd like to hear my blood clotting story, go to VSiN++. We can have all of them. We're going to retell that story again. Never been close to biting it for being a goner, for real, with blood clotting. Chris Bosh, by the way, had to end his NBA career because of a blood clotting issue. So, yeah, nothing more serious than that. Okay, let me just ask you about the series that begins tomorrow in the Eastern Conference, though. We have a series price on the Panthers at minus 150, the Rangers plus 130 on the comeback.
Rangers. I'm going to keep riding the Rangers here, guys. Wow. I have throughout the entirety of these players. And look, Florida is a fantastic team. And so was Carolina, who the Rangers just beat, by the way, in the last round. I genuinely think those were the three best teams in the East. And there was a drop off to your Toronto, Boston, Tampa Bay tier of teams. So these are two of the three best teams in the East. They should be here in the conference final. For hockey fans, I think it's going to be a heck of a conference final. You've got so much talent on both sides. Each team checks every box that I look for in terms of winning at this time of the year. So you could obviously make a strong case for Florida as well, but I am going to stick with the Rangers. They've just got a little something special going on there in New York. And like I said, they check every box for me. And I just trust Igor Shesterkin the way he's playing a little bit more right now than Bobrovsky on the Panthers side. That's the deciding factor for me. And I'm getting plus money with the Rangers as well. So I'm going to continue to ride the blue shirts.
I give you credit because you're about the only one. All I hear is Panthers talk anecdotally from most. Would you take the Rangers in game one?
I would, yeah. I just think it's a good price, right? You're getting them around a pick 'em. I think you could actually get them as a slight dog in that game on home ice. That was an angle I played in the Carolina series, so why not run it back here in the conference final?
Last thing, hypothetical line. Stars minus 115 if they play the Oilers in the series, minus 250 if they play the Canucks. Those sound about right to you?
That Canucks line's pretty steep, but I like the Stars either way. I think the Stars are going to beat either of those two.
I like your fealty to the Rangers, though. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it.
Great stuff, boys. Have an awesome week.
Little tennis on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game brought to you by the good folks at Zyn Nicotine Pouches. By the way, our website, Kelly, is banging. Say that about a website? Banging? VSiN.com? Yeah, I'm banging. I don't think I'm overselling. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. I'm looking right now at the front page. Zach Cohen, should you bet on Rafa Nadal to win the 2024 French Open? Also, Zach on the schedule release in the NFL. Adam Burke talking hockey with the Panthers and the Rangers. Eastern Conference Finals set to begin tomorrow night. Tyler Shoemaker's all over the WNBA beat. And JVT talking Mavs and T-Wolves. Everything you could possibly want. Even Jake Paul, Mike Tyson from Adam. All at VSiN.com. Check it out.
When is that fight?
Oh, you got to ask me that.
Sorry, man. I feel like we first heard about it like a month ago, but now I feel like it's happening like
July 20th.
Okay, so it's still a ways off.
July 20th. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Rat City. Titans_insider. Remember that song? Rat City, Rep City. What was it called? Rat City?
Bro, I got no idea what you're
talking
about.
The day. It was like 10 years ago. Pacers +2.5 games at +115. Interesting, he says.
Maybe you should go to VSiN.com and check out JVT's write-up on that exact bet.
Oh, is that right? Nash, last name Nash. Just bet this myself, so I'll share it to others who have it available before it moves. Jack Flaherty, 100-1 at the Superbook, he says.
Uh-oh.
Judd O'Connor. Xander built a stance in the fairway bunker on 18. That should be a penalty stroke. Signed the wrong scorecard. Another penalty. Side note, I had Bryson.
That's a great tweet.
Side note, I had Bryson. On a related note, I had a bet on another guy. Jesse Welch. Thank God. By the way, he didn't sign a wrong wrong card.
I mean, if he was going to be taking a penalty there, or if he should have taken a penalty stroke there, then he would have signed a wrong card.
Right. So, correct. Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah. It snowballed, is what you're saying.
It would snowball from there, yes.
Jesse Welch, thank God I did great on my placement bets on the PGA Championship because I gave 50% back on Sunday just knowing Xander would gack it away.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think both those tweets, like, yeah, I bet Bryson live yesterday. I was in that camp. Like, don't be beating yourself up over Xander Schauffele finally breaking through and winning one. Like, I don't think that you're... It's not like you were making bad bets, everybody out there, if you were thinking, oh, well, let me get on one of these other very talented golfers because Xander Schauffele never wins.
And then Rick Ollier, Pearl Jam. Oh, he's quoting me. He says, Pearl Jam. No, I'm good, but let me know when H-Town tickets come available. H-Town.
There are. If you guys can hear some of the Gil stories, I mean, who was at the Palms like semi-recently that you were like, I am not missing this?
Oh, I went to Babyface. I went to Rafael Saadiq.
Okay. Well, I especially remember Babyface. You wouldn't shut up about that for like 2 months. No. Yeah.
I can't shut up about that. That's some good stuff over there at the Palms. What's the name of that theater over there? It's gross.
I don't know. I like the Palms.
Real quick before we move off
the
golf.
Pearl.
Thank you, Matt Hicks. That's right, Pearl. We do have to stop once more because it took over our show Friday. You set it off air just now, and I think it needs repeating. They put Scottie Scheffler in an orange jumpsuit for a half an hour.
So what? I texted you on Friday. I couldn't stop thinking about that.
It's just ridiculous.
Like, I have no problem with... I kind of don't have a problem with what happened at the scene. It's a chaotic scene, right? Like, cops are always trying to, you know, protect themselves, protect each other, figure stuff out, blame whoever you want to blame. What I don't understand, though, is once I got back to the police station, how there isn't more like, all right, guys, like someone at that point knew who this was. And like you really made him get an orange, you know, the orange jumpsuit get up, take the picture and like, and then, I mean, what, for 26 minutes? And then you're like, all right, Mr. Scheffler, here's your clothes back. You could go. Like, what?
It's like on Friday, what it says, the tennis equivalent is like Novak Djokovic being put in an orange jumpsuit outside of Roland Garros.
Right, right,
and being like, I'm sorry, Mr. Djokovic, but sorry. Like, hold
up there. Change for us. Okay, you can change back and go on. Go ahead.
Nothing cracks me up more than the Kelly book. Kelly does
hold
that.
Right there.
It's very cartoon comic book.
Wait. Scheffler this week.
Oh, this is a great point.
I have no idea what's going on. It feels like everybody is very much under the assumption that these charges are going to be dropped because that's what we kind of heard. But to my knowledge, they haven't been yet. My knowledge, he's supposed to be in court tomorrow.
That's correct.
To my knowledge, he's in the field for the Charles Schwab this week. So I haven't made a bet yet, but like
it's like all those tennis injuries. Like, what do you do?
And that's where I wanted to carry over that conversation because I think I'm gonna make a bet or two today, Gil. Because I mean, I'm trying to put myself even just in that guy's headspace. Why play this week? Like, you're the best player on the planet. Everything you just went through. I mean, you said it. Like, I felt the same way on Saturday watching him. Like, okay. This finally caught up to the guy. Like, what he did on Friday was incredible on the course. This caught up to him. How can you blame him for it catching up to him? He's got a newborn kid at home. Man, it feels like it makes way too much sense to be like, I'm taking a week off. Like, this is too much craziness for me. I mean, he's plus 260 to win this thing.
Plus 260. This is insane.
It's wild. And again, I don't know anything. I don't know anything because we haven't heard anything, really.
But, like, plus 260 is just insane no matter what.
Yeah, it's wild.
Guardians update real quick because I don't want to act like this is not happening because it is. Because I'm locked into the Guardians every day just like I was in March and April. And as you know, for those who were not with us, a 65-1 shot was one out away from winning. And then we got a home run hit against us. It was ugly. Worst, sickest beat ever. So I ran it back in May. Now, here's the difference between March, April, and the May bet. DraftKings did not have the May market, whereas they did the March, April. So those who are on the Guardians in May is only Circa and William Hill Caesars. So it's about half of our tag-alongs, our tailing listeners are out on this because they didn't have it at DraftKings. But, and by the way, it wasn't 65. What'd you say?
Tagalongs. What are the Girl Scout cookies, right?
Tagalongs.
I think it's the
What's
peanut
your favorite
butter
Girl Scout
one?
Cookies, by the way?
Tagalongs. Yeah, Tagalongs. It's those ones, yeah.
65-1 was what it was in March, April. 16-1 is what I got it out in May. And I do my path and what is actual. And the Guardians are only one game worse than what I had them projected at to this point. They had a little White Sox problem earlier in the month. They went 1-3 against the worst team in baseball. Literally three of the White Sox 14 wins on the whole year was in that series against the Guardians. But the Guardians have fought back. They're only one game worse than I thought they would be at this point. They're 11-7 in the month of May. And you're like, well, 11-7, that doesn't sound that good. Right, but remember, the difference between March, April, and May is that in May, the easy part of the schedule comes at the end, which is Angels, Rockies, Nationals. Three against the Angels, three against the Rockies, one against the Nationals, at least on paper. So the Guardians are going to win a whole bunch of ball games between now and the end of the month, one would think. At 11-7, the next question is, okay, what are the other teams doing? And therein is the rub, ladies and gentlemen. There's the problem. Because nobody is losing. The Phillies, Yankees, and Dodgers refuse to lose baseball games. So as on point as the Guardians' projection was for May, the difference between this month and March, April is that the teams at the top alongside are not cooperating. The Phillies and Yankees are 14-3 in the month of May, and the Dodgers are 13-4. By the way, their run differentials, Phillies plus 54, Yankees plus 40, Dodgers plus 44. Like, it's ridiculous. They're just stomping opponents. And it doesn't matter what their predicament seems to be in any one of their games. They all end up winning. And part of the, by the way, and people are like, well, they're not playing anybody either. Well, part of putting together a good season in Major League Baseball is beating the teams you're supposed to. And the Phillies, Yankees, and Dodgers are not giving ground. So right now, with, what is that? It's 12 days left in the Major League, in May. Guardians have 10 games left. A lot of teams you see on the far right column if you're watching at VSiN.com. Teams either have 11 or 10 games left this month. They're behind the eight ball because even if they put together a run here, and again, 11-7, nothing wrong with that, with an easy schedule in front of them, they're going to win a whole bunch of games. But the Phillies, Yankees, and Dodgers got to cooperate, and we don't have any control of that. So we shall see. Right now, even with the easy schedule in front of us, a little bit behind the eight ball. Remember, it was the opposite in March, April, where the easy part was early, and then they just couldn't quite get to the finish line at the end. This, we'll see if they have a flourish at the end, see if they can make it close. But boy, oh boy, sometimes your part of it's going well, but what do you say about teams that just refuse to lose?
Are the Phillies really that much worse than the Dodgers and Braves?
Nope.
Okay. It's like the one. It's the one question.
Well, by the way, the Braves are not part of this in May. The Braves are like 500. They have kind of just become sort of mediocre for this stretch.
But what are your thoughts on them? Because was only a couple weeks ago, right?
I still think they're the best team in baseball. And I might be wrong about that, but I still think push comes to shove. But this is why when we get to a postseason, this is why when we talk about why did you bet the Giants to win the NL and to win the World Series? Because if they get in,
right.
And by the way, they're two games under 500, somebody's got to get in as a wild card in the NL. The way that the postseason is structured, any of these teams can randomly win. And if you're the best teams like the Yankees, the Phillies, the Dodgers, the Braves, that structure, best of threes or best of fives, if you're lucky enough to avoid the best of threes, it's just a recipe for disaster. After a 162-game schedule where you're clearly the better teams. So anyway, Guardians got a shot, puncher's chance, but the teams at the top have got to cooperate. Mike Somich on the other side. His hockey bets, his basketball bets, that's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're so close to crowning an NBA champ, but with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. If you're new to DraftKings, listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5 and get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. The crown is yours. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Chance Copperpot. I'm sorry, he says. I'm from Seattle and grew up with Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Soundgarden, etc.
Oh, boy. Chance could have a problem with this one.
No, he says, I can't stand Pearl Jam.
Oh.
You couldn't pay me to see them at the Sphere. On the other hand, I see New Edition is performing at the Encore. I'll go to that instead. Thank you very much, he said. How about that? Chili Gambler.
Chance.
He's sucking up. Thank you, Chance. Keep on sucking up.
He's not taking you for sushi.
Chili Gambler. Interesting, your best friend Phil Weiss brings up the Iga versus Serena comparison. Both had six slams by the time they turned 23. And Iga has a chance to outpace her now because Serena only won one at ages 23 and 24. Iga also well ahead in weeks at number one by this age. She didn't have six slams. Everything you said is correct. She has four slams currently. She's going for her fifth right here at the French Open. But she's been number one way more than Serena had at this point. So it's a ridiculous counter by young Phil. Thank you, Chili Gambler. Chili Gambler also sucking up as well, Kelly. Both looking for a sushi place.
Everybody's scoring brownie points.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. No, they're right is what they are. They're absolutely right. Mike Somich, ladies and gentlemen, he's often right. He joins us again courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Mike, on Twitter, at SomoBomb18. SomoBomb. There it is. Co-host of The Handle with Matt Brown. How's it doing with Matt Brown? You enjoy spending time with Matt every weekend?
I do. We actually had a blast this weekend. It's a lot of fun to be in studio, be able to go back and forth with him. And then we went golfing as well. Played TPC Las Vegas on Saturday. That was a good time as well. This is a very nice course.
The Handle, noon, Saturday and Sunday, right here at VSiN with both Somich and our buddy Matt Brown. Okay, real quick, because we just did the NBA promo, your thoughts about everything that happened yesterday?
Pretty surprised, to be honest with you. I thought the Pacers obviously shot the ball phenomenally well, but were able to really just wear down that Knicks team later in the series. You could see that, you know, just the gas left in the tank was a problem for the Knicks as that went longer and longer. And as soon as you saw OG wasn't really going to be able to play yesterday, felt like the Knicks were in a little bit of trouble. Hart was more injured than I expected. Obviously, the Brunson injury kind of ended it, but they were down 20 at that point anyway, so I don't think that was a major factor in the game. Then the other game, I mean, Minnesota and the Nuggets was a shocker to me. You have the Nuggets up 15. It's the largest comeback in Game 7 history at halftime.
Amazing.
And we saw this Timberwolves team just kind of mature in real time. I thought they were really impressive toward the second half. The defense was smothering later in that game. You're forcing Jokic to be shooting threes. He was 0-for-7 to start out from three-point range. It's going to be a fun series. I mean, I'm excited. I'm happy that Dallas won, that they got through Oklahoma City, because I think Oklahoma City would have had a real struggle with Minnesota or Denver, whoever had won that game, because of the size issues they have. I think this Dallas-Minnesota series is going to be phenomenal basketball, just a lot of fun to watch.
Any leans on either of the two series?
Well, I'll take Boston. Shocker, right?
Wait a minute. You don't think the Pacers can win this and simultaneously get to the NBA Finals? And more importantly, Mike, take down, get emotional. 5.5 under on total number of Celtics losses in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
I know it's painful for you, Gil. I'm going to get to see that sushi spot after all here when we get to the NBA
Finals.
Oh, this
does not get to sushi. I say how he slipped that in. He's like, sushi. I was like, no, that wasn't sushi.
I'm pretty sure that was the deal. We might have to go back and check the tapes on this one here. Right, Kelly? I think that was the deal.
I'd really like to side with you, Mike, but I don't think it was. He's not giving up that spot for anybody.
I think the Pacers, I honestly think the Pacers have a puncher's chance. You do not.
I think it's 4-2, right? I think that the Celtics don't show up for one game. I think the Pacers legitimately win one game, and I think we end up with that 4-2 final series score. Honestly, anyone has a puncher's chance against the Celtics after what we saw in the game twos of both of those series. They're lackadaisical at times, and I don't think they're going to win the title this year. To me, the winner of the West is your winner. So if you're playing either team to win the West, I would rather play them to win the title because of the odds are so significantly better. Dallas right now is sitting at 6-1, I believe it is, to win the NBA title. I don't think that's a terrible number because I do think that they would have an advantage over the Celtics if we go that far. The Celtics team is just, they're not battle-tested. They consistently just make weird mental mistakes. They don't show up for certain games, certain parts of games. So I lean toward whoever wins the West being able to win the title. And I think that Western Conference series is going to be phenomenal. You can go over 5.5 games. That's -135 last I saw for over 5.5 games in the Western Conference finals. I think that's a good bet. I think either Dallas or Minnesota, whoever you think getting out, is a good bet. I thought it was interesting how this series price adjusted as well. We saw it. Dallas open +150 dog that got up to +170. And then immediately the money started pouring in on Dallas. Now we're sitting there at +145 for Dallas to win the series. So been interesting to follow that momentum as well that we've seen in the Western Conference finals.
Yeah. I said the T-Wolves Nuggets was the NBA finals. I'll stick to that. I think the T-Wolves are going to be on top in the end and will cause us all to rethink the Rudy Gobert trade.
Can I jump in real quick on something we didn't bring up at the beginning of the show, but the Knicks-Pacers game. I love Tibbs. What were they watching pregame to let OG Anunoby out on the court? Like, as soon as that game started, you're like, this guy can barely move. What's going on here? That was bizarre.
4.5 minutes he lasted.
That was so weird to me.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
We talked about the props a lot, specifically for OG Anunoby and Josh Hart and their points props, because OG Anunoby opened 12.5 in that game, and it actually posted while we were on the handle. So we were talking about the movement there. And you think about back to the NFL, those hamstring injuries, when you're trying to come back after a week in the NFL as a receiver, you barely make it 30% of the game. I was like, I could never play the overs on OG because it's, what, a 50-50 shot? He doesn't make it through the first quarter, and that's exactly what we saw. And the other part of it is you go through everything to get ready. As soon as he sits on the bench, how is he going to get back into the game? Because he's gonna tighten up immediately. Right. It's for me, it was so hard to believe he was going to play a full game.
Hammies are pesky. I don't know if you know that, Kelly.
Oh, it was so weird. As soon as they tip the ball, like, this guy can't move.
Dallas Stars are waiting for the winner of the Game 7 clash between Edmonton and Vancouver tonight. Any thoughts on that Game 7? And do you have a bet in a creative way on the Dallas Stars, and specifically a certain goaltender?
I've got quite a few Dallas Stars bets. So I have them 11-1 when they were down 2-1 to the Las Vegas Golden Knights. I played Ottinger at 14-1 to win Conn Smythe. I just came back in and put in a big bet on Ottinger plus 425 to win the Conn Smythe again. Look, if Dallas wins it, I think it's going to be Ottinger. He was a big part of them getting through this last series against Colorado. He's played phenomenal throughout the playoffs. He's going to get either Edmonton or Vancouver here. And I will be backing up the truck if it's Edmonton. I would love Dallas to play Edmonton, because you're going to get around a Dallas minus 120, minus 125 series price. And I think they should be closer to minus 170, minus 180 in that series with Edmonton. If they end up with Vancouver, then I will be happy to play the game and a half with Dallas as well. But both of these set up well for Ottinger specifically. If they're playing Vancouver, you're not going to see very high scoring games. You're going to see a lot of 5-on-5 play. That's something Dallas does very well. If you get Edmonton and Dallas is able to stay out of the box, Edmonton just can't score 5-on-5. It was a huge struggle. It has been a struggle against Vancouver. It's going to be just as big of a problem there. And if that's the case, and you've got a Dallas team that's winning with defense and not winning, you know, the 5-3, 6-4 games, Ottinger is going to be in the catbird seat heading into the Stanley Cup Finals to be able to win this if Dallas wins. And right now, Dallas is plus 205, and Ottinger is sitting at plus 425.
Remember when we did the Primetime Action Hockey Awards trivia contest? Remember that? Calder Trophy, Hart Trophy.
No, I'd fail ball again.
Conn Smythe is the MVP of the playoffs, if you will.
Mike, what's the top scoring defenseman one? Like, that's always one that blows my mind.
It's not the top scoring defenseman. The Norse Trophy is what you're thinking of for best defenseman. Generally, they give it to the top scoring defenseman, but you can win it with defense as well.
Okay.
Excellent question, Gilly Bittman.
Well, apparently not. No. I tried. It's
worth bringing up. And before we get out of here, you do have a baseball play.
Yeah, I'm going to go under first five here. Tigers and Royals, wonderful AL Central matchup here. You've got Olsen taking on Waka. Waka been pretty good from a statistical perspective this year, but Olsen been sneaky good for Detroit. He's 0-4, but he's got a 2.09 ERA. Don't think either of these offense able to get it going early against these two pitchers. So we're going under 4.5 first five Tigers and Royals today.
All right, so give me your NBA finals and your NHL finals are?
I'm going to go Dallas Boston with Dallas winning, and Florida against Dallas with Dallas winning as well. Give me both titles down in the big state of Texas out of the city of Dallas.
Wow. A Dallas duo, a Kiniella for Dallas in basketball and hockey.
You know what? I'm going to have to put a Stars bet in. I was born in Dallas, at least around here. I'm just going to become the obnoxious Dallas guy, okay?
Oh, no.
Let's go.
Not that guy.
I got Mavericks tickets already.
Mike Samich.
Give him a cowboy hat.
At SamoBomb18 on the Twitter machine. And, of course, co-host of The Handle with Matt Brown. Noon on Saturday and Sunday Eastern here at the network. Thank you, Mike. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, guys. Have a good week.
Mike Samich, everybody. We got to run. By the way, happy Victoria Day once again, because Jay Kahn brought it up. Happy Victoria Day in Canada.
Stumped him yesterday on what that was. It's like, it's got to be after Queen Victoria.
After Queen Victoria, the mother of Confederation. You knew that. So shout out to everybody in Canada. Enjoy your day. We've done all we can do. If you're on the radio side, Gojo and Golic are next. If you're on the pictures side, well, we got a little best bets next at VSiN, the sports betting network. Enjoy.